Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Father, we are grateful and thankful for another opportunity to come in your presence to hear your word. Holy Spirit, we avail our hearts to you. We pray that you minister to us. May we not leave this place the same way, but let your word have that impact in our lives to transform us and to draw us even closer to you. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord. And please be seated. We are talking about the all-important subject of others. Others. Hallelujah. Others. Say others. Say others. We've been talking about others, and we began talking about what you must know about others. What you must know about others. And we said several things that you ought to know about others. And today, we want to talk about what Jesus did for others. What Jesus did for others. Hallelujah. How many of you think it's important to know what Jesus did for others? If we are saying the subject of others is very important, then you must know what the Savior himself did or thought about others, what he did for others, so that we can copy from him, we can learn from him. Isn't that so? Yes. Wonderful. So what Jesus did for others, and we are sharing from our Father's book, Others. And today we are sharing from chapter 3. So you can all read with me. Hallelujah. What Jesus did for others. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37. We're reading to 39. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 39. It says, Jesus said unto him. Now this is when Jesus had some dialogue with the Sadducees. And they posed several questions and he answered them. And the Pharisees felt that Jesus has really won the dialogue. And so they gathered themselves together to find a way that they can come with some questions that he could not answer. And so this lawyer, who is a Pharisee, was perhaps one of the learned men. He asked Jesus what the most important commandment is. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. How? How? Who said that?
Jesus.
He says the second important commandment is like unto the first one. He says the first one is that you must love the Lord your God. And the second most important, or the second to it, is that you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. Hallelujah. So Jesus told of how many important commandments? Two great commandments. Two important commandments. And if the second of the two most important, or the two important commandments, is to love others, if the second one is to love others or to love your neighbors, then it means that other people in your lives or your neighbors are very important people to God. What do you think? If someone asked Jesus, what are the two most important commandments? Or what is the most important commandment? Jesus didn't give one. He couldn't give one important commandment. He has to give the man two important commandments. And he said the first one is to love God. The first commandment, he says, is to love God. He could have left it like that. But he says there's a second one, which is like unto it. That means it's comparable. Isn't that what it means? If it's like unto it, it means it's comparable. And he says the second one is to love others or to love your neighbor. That means loving God is as important as loving others. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you?
Yes.
Loving God is as important as loving others. Now, so important that your life for them is rated. Your love for them, your love for your neighbor is so important that it's rated the number two or almost equal to your love for God. Wow. When all commandments are summed up, your love for others is rated number two. Amen.
Amen.
So he expects you to treat others the same way you treat yourself. He says, love them as you love yourself. So Jesus is expecting to treat your neighbor the same way as you treat yourself. Hallelujah. I want you to think about it. Because if you think deeply about it, it's a very serious thing. If you think about it, it's very serious. Hallelujah. It means you must wish for your neighbor everything that you wish for yourself. You must want for your neighbor everything that you want for yourself. You must do for your neighbor everything you want done unto you. That is what it means. Hallelujah. And that is not something that human beings do naturally. That is why it's so serious. It's not something that we do naturally. So, but Jesus came all the way from heaven into this world to teach us that if you were to ask me, this is what Jesus is saying. If you were to ask me, as I have come, what is the most important commandment? It's to love God and to love others. Treat others as you treat yourself. Amen. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And now you know that every human being, every person loves himself. All human beings love themselves. Or do you know anyone who hates himself? If you find someone who hates himself or hates herself, then you think the person is not what? Normal. The person is sick. There's something wrong. Are you listening to me? If you find someone who hates herself or who dislikes himself, who treats himself badly, then you will think that something is wrong. Amen.
Amen.
Then you think something is wrong. You will feel that the person is sick. So what does it mean? What does it mean? It means here in this scripture, you see, that if you find someone who does not treat his or her neighbor as you treat himself, then something must be wrong. If you find someone treating his or her neighbor badly, it means that something is also wrong. Or you don't understand what I'm sharing with you. Amen. Now, who is your neighbor? Your neighbor represents others of your life. Others are the people whom God has called you to care for. Amen. And Jesus is saying that you must love them the way you love yourself. Hallelujah. You must love them the way you love yourself. So, what does it mean? It means if you don't want something to happen to your neighbor, you don't want something to happen to you, then you shouldn't want it to happen to your neighbor. How many of you want to go to hell? Now, who wants to go to hell? There's not one person whose hand is lifted up. It means that you must not want your neighbor to go to hell. Amen. How many of you want to be unemployed and be homeless? It means you must not want your neighbor to be unemployed and be homeless. Whatever you don't want to happen to you, it says, love your neighbor the same way you love yourself. It means if you don't want to go to hell, there are certain things that you do. You do certain things. I mean, I know there are some things that you do not to go to hell. You try not to lie. You try not to steal. You try not to fornicate. You try not to commit adultery. You try to do your quiet time all the time. You try to be in church. You try to pray. You try to hear the word of God and do the word of God. You are doing everything you can that perchance Jesus comes, you'll be in heaven. Isn't that so? If Jesus comes today, you are hoping that you'll be in heaven. Isn't that so? It means that you must help your neighbor to do everything he or she can so that he or she will not go to hell. So whatever effort you make to even hear the word of God, do your quiet time, you should help your neighbor. Do the same thing. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Isn't that what it means? You do everything that you can to make your neighbor acquire or have that which you have also. Amen. Think about it. I want you to think about it. Your neighbor is your neighbor. Nothing changes to make it not your neighbor anymore. I am bringing your mind to. Are you home with me?
Yes.
I said, your neighbor is your neighbor. Yes. Nothing happens that your neighbor is no longer your neighbor. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what your neighbor does to you, he or she remains your neighbor. Are you listening to me? So you may have a wicked husband, he's still your neighbor. A wicked wife, she's still your neighbor. Are you listening? You may have a friend who disappoints you, who lets you down, he's still your friend, he's your neighbor. A wicked aunt is still your neighbor. Your mother-in-law will always be your neighbor. So it doesn't matter what the person does. The person still is your neighbor. Nothing can change it. Do you see? Nothing can change it. How many of you, for instance, you have said something, you know, that you wish that something bad happened to this person because the person did something wicked to you? You know, you went to evangelize and you are trying to witness to this person and the person treats you like you are an enemy. You are aimless. You know, And then you're trying to talk to the person will not listen to you. You're trying to give the track to the person, take the track and throws it at your face. How many of you have wished that Jesus will come now? Jesus would have come now to see this, that this person will miss heaven, to see that there's heaven and there's hell. You know, that there will be the judgment this moment, and then you will know that what I'm telling you is a very serious thing. How many of you have wished, you have felt like something, somebody has really treated you in a certain way as you were trying to witness, and you wish that the rapture would have come now. You see, you can't wish that. According to the scripture, you can't wish that. The person is still your neighbor. Is somebody understanding the word of God? You are still expected to wish and do for them what you wish for yourself and what you do for yourself. Hallelujah. So you can be a person who enhances himself or herself. You decorate yourself, you improve yourself, and that kind of life is simply self-enhancement, and is the simplest and the cheapest way of life. According to Jesus Christ, when your lifestyle is that you just enhance your life, you have fallen short even of the glory of God. Amen. So few things that I want to share with you about what Jesus did. Number one, Jesus thought about others. Amen. Jesus thought about others. Hallelujah. Amen. So here the scripture we read is teaching us to think about others. To think about others. Amen. Amen. And the reason why many people do nothing for others is because we do not think about them. We don't think about others. You don't pause to think about others. You ask yourself, how many people think about blind men? Do you see? How many times have you thought about blind people or deaf people? How many times? How many times have you thought about lost souls? How many times? How many times have you even thought about other nations? I don't think today you woke up with Gaza on your mind. Or Ukraine. I mean, I think many of you are forgetting about the war in Ukraine. Did you think about Ukraine yesterday? Last night? 2 weeks ago? A month ago? Amen. Even when you see it on the news, you don't even record, you don't see it. It's happening. So many people don't think about others, and that is why we don't do things for others. That is why we don't care about others. Hallelujah. We mostly are consumed with our own issues. Isn't that so? We are mostly consumed with our own issues. Most of the time. Hallelujah. If there is a thought on your mind at any time, you are usually thinking about your issue. Hallelujah. When we take decisions, we hardly think about the effect it will have on others. When we decide to do something, we hardly think about how it will affect others. Or even when we are saying something, we hardly think of the effect it will have on others. It is how we will feel about it. What we want to say and what it will do to us is what is important. We are so consumed by our own issues. Hallelujah. Amen. We take decisions only with me, I, and myself in mind. When it's all about you. But I can bet you that if you would take a moment If you would take a moment to think about others, to think about someone when you are taking a decision, if you would take just a moment to think about someone or others or another person, I can guarantee you 99.9% of the time that the decision will be different. The decision will be different. Amen. If you take any decision and you have someone else in mind, if you are wanting to leave the marriage so badly and you have the children in mind, if you think about it, many people stay in the marriage when they think about the children. Many people. They are so angry, want to leave the marriage, and then they take a moment. The moment they are in it and they feel, they think of how they feel insulted, cheated, robbed. They want to leave. And then for a moment, they think of the children, and then suddenly they don't want to leave. I tell you, when you are taking decision, if you think of someone, if you think of others, it changes your decision. It changes your decision. Amen. But we hardly think about others. When we are making a decision, we hardly think about others. We think of how we feel, what we have thought about ourselves, how it has affected us, how we have gone through this, and how we have pondered over it by ourselves, considering our situation, considering how it has, and then we take a decision, not thinking of how it will affect other people. Never. And for that, we take decisions that do not include anyone else. Amen. You will hardly meet anyone who thinks about others. You can hardly find Christians who think about orphans or prisoners or mental patients or any other unfortunate category in our society. Think about it. Think of yourself. How many times do you think about prisoners? You say, Reverend, myself, I'm struggling even to rise up to pray, you know? Personally, it has not been easy for me. Yeah? Many of those who claim to be making charitable donations and helping society are only trying to get tax exemptions for their companies. A lot of charity work is nothing more than a show. Really? A lot of charity work. People rarely genuinely think about others. People rarely care about others, genuinely. Amen. You'll hardly find people who genuinely care about others. Rich nations don't care about poor nations. Are you listening? Rich nations don't really care about poor nations. If they are doing something for a poor nation, it means they will get something from them. They will get their vote at the UN. You know, they want some area in their poor country where they can have a base to protect and defend something that is of interest to them. So you realize that decisions that even nations make is just selfish decisions. It's not that they genuinely care about these poor people. And sadly, Christians also don't care about lost souls. Amen. The scripture in Philippians 2, verse 4 and 8 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Every man also on the things of others. And then he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We say we are thinking of others. Let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind that you are not only about yourself. He says, look not every man on his own things. Let not every man be looking only on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen. On the things of others. And then he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This was his mind. Let this mind be in you. Hallelujah. He was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And all of this was because he made his mind to think about others. He paused to think about others. When you think about others, you do amazing things. I'm telling you. If you see, it's not that you are a mean person or you are a wicked person, but you have not thought about others. You don't ponder over it about others. You don't put other people's issue on your mind. That is a reason. I'm telling you, that is a reason. And so think about others. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to give you another one. It says, Jesus loved others. Jesus loved others. Amen. There are seven things here, but I can't give all of them to you. So I'm giving a few to you. Jesus loved others. It says, most people simply love their husbands, their wives, and their children. True or not true? Yes. Some people show great love for their extended families. Some people have strong and extraordinary love for their tribes and their tribesmen. Everything pertains to them is about their tribe. But Jesus Christ loved this world. He loved this world, which is full of wicked people. Wicked people. Hallelujah. Amen. The church of Jesus Christ is also almost destroyed because of the great selfishness that has consumed the prosperous church. The church has become weak because of its selfishness and self-centeredness. Hallelujah. But Christianity is never meant to be a selfish faith or self-centered faith. Never. The main instruction from our Savior is to go to others. Go. Leave what you have and go. Leave yours and go. That is the main instruction from our Savior. The great commandment or the great commission that the Savior gave us is to go. And you cannot do this if you don't have love for others. You can never leave what pertains to you. You can never leave because everyone has issues. Are you listening? Are you with me? Who does not have issue? You see, everyone has issue. Everyone has something that at any point in time is worth thinking about. Everyone has some problem that at any point in time is worth solving or finding solutions to. Isn't that so? But the scripture is saying that look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That means as you are thinking of your things, be mindful of the things of others. Some people don't think about anyone. Look at your neighbor. He say, you don't look like that kind of person. Christianity has become now self-centered. Christians are all self-centered. And other religions have taken over large sections of this world, while the Church of Jesus Christ has been reduced to groupings amongst rich city dwellers. Mercy. Hardly do the rich and prosperous churches of our world think about others. They are so consumed with their own needs that they do not realize that the church is shrinking because of their self-centeredness. God so loved the world that he thought about others. He thought about others. By thinking about others and loving others, God has won to himself many sons and daughters. Many sons and daughters. God thought about the plight of mankind, the wretchedness of mankind, the path that we were on, ready to perish. And then he gave his only begotten son. Just out of that thought and the love, when you have love for others, when you think of people, you have compassion, you have sympathy for them when you think about people. And that is how God gave his only son to die for us. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? The next one, Jesus served others. Jesus served others. Hallelujah. Jesus served others. Say, Jesus served others. Jesus was a great king. But he came to this world not to be served. He did not come to be waited upon. Jesus did not come to be glorified and attended to. Jesus came to serve. He came to serve. He came to minister to others. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus thought about others. He thought about others. And he realized that when he thought about others, they needed to be served. When you think of others, you realize that they need something. They need to be served. Hallelujah. This is how your life must become. A life of serving others. Serving others is the key, the main key to greatness. When you are a servant to others, when you serve others, is a great key to greatness. Hallelujah. Now, it becomes sort of difficult to understand this, that serving others can help you to become a great person. But how many of you have thought about this? That when you hear of other people's problems, you know, when someone begins to tell you of their problems, it makes you forget about your problems. When you think of people's serious issues, you realize that your issue is very small. You realize that even complaining and talking about your issue is embarrassing. Isn't that so? If you will wait for a moment and look at a homeless person that is freezing to death in the snow or in the cold, it will make you really some way to complain that you have been looking for a three-bedroom house or three-bedroom apartment for a while and you have not received it. Isn't that so? That you went somewhere and then social workers have gathered around this homeless person and the discussion around here is how we can find a home for this person. How we can find a small room or even a shelter to put this person in because the person has developed frostbite. Their toes and their fingers have become black. And then you say, me too, I have some issues. Since social workers have gathered and they are trying to help. He says, what's your issue? I have a two-bedroom apartment, but I need a three-bedroom apartment. Or you say, what is your issue? I've been taking the train for too long. I need them to help me to get a car. This is my issue. as they are finding solution for someone's homelessness. You see, so when you think of other people's problems, it makes your problem become ridiculous. It makes you forget about your problems. That is why it can make you a great person when you begin to think of other people's problems. You can become very great, or you recognize or realize how great you are. Amen. When you think of other people's issues, it takes your mind off your minor issues. It opens you up to real world in which people have diverse and unsolvable problems. People have various issues that are unsolvable. So thinking about others helps you to put your little problems in the right context. Thinking about others helps you to cut out complaining and whining about petty things. Amen. You see, one day I went to a place in a country. And we were driving somewhere in the night. And then I saw people have gathered under a tree and they were having church service. I tell you, under a tree and they were having church service. And then it made me stop complaining. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So when you look at some people's issues, it makes you put your own issue in a different context. Not that you don't have issue. Are you listening to me? Not that you don't have issue. Hallelujah. But when you think about others, when you consider others, thinking about others and serving others can be one of the greatest things that you ever did for yourself. It makes you put your own issues in a different context. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus came to serve others. Matthew 20 verse 28, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, not to be served, not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That is what he came for. Jesus Christ. Say others.
Others.
Let me give you one last one and then we can close. Say others.
Others.
Jesus died for others.
Amen.
Jesus died for others. Matthew 26 verse 28. He says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus shed his blood for others. Wow. Jesus shed his blood for others.
Amen.
What do you do for other people? What do you do for others? We are not asking you to die for others. Because you don't even want to die for yourself. Would you die for yourself? So we don't care about people who are going to hell. We think it's not our fault. We have invited this person several times and he doesn't come. We have witnessed to this person several times. And then you leave them to go to hell. Say, I didn't cause the problem that they have. Many of us think of ourselves. These ungrateful people do not deserve even 5 minutes of my time. We say to ourselves. And when we think of how ungrateful people are, we will never help others. People are ungrateful, naturally. People are ungrateful. Many people are ungrateful. They are unthankful. Are you listening? But we cannot dwell on that. Amen. Jesus Christ came into the world to save those many people who are ungrateful. Many people that Jesus died for are ungrateful. Many Christians are ungrateful. Amen. Is somebody listening to me?
Yes.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus died for us, yet just a few people have received him as a savior. We are ungrateful. We don't value the suffering that he went through. We don't value that he was crucified on the cross. We don't value that he shed his precious blood for us. We are ungrateful. So if you think about whether people will appreciate what you do for them, you will never do the will of God. If you think of how ungrateful people are, because that is a natural thing. Jesus, we are not saying you die for others. Jesus died for others and they are still ungrateful. So it is time for us to become like Jesus. It is time to listen to the heart of Jesus and follow how he cares for others. Hallelujah. It's very, very important. You know, it is so important. And I don't know how many of you know that not caring for others, not thinking about others, can lead you to hell. How many of you know that? You see, you don't know. So, you see, you are a Christian. You come to church. You don't sin willingly or willfully. You don't... What else do you not do? You don't do anything that will lead you to hell. But I want to show you something. That being self-centered can lead a Christian to hell. Not caring about others can lead you to hell. Do you want me to show you? Okay, let me just show you and then we can close. And then I want you to go home thinking about that. That you actually can go to hell. And I believe you have never thought about it. Or perhaps you have not thought deeply about it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41. Look at this. This is Jesus. He's talking about the judgment, about the righteous and the unrighteous, or the righteous and the wicked. And he had told the righteous to go to his right hand side. And now look at this. He says, then shall he say also unto them. I want you to pay attention. So those of you who are on your phone, just lift up your eyes for a moment and let's read. Okay? Because I want you to go home with this scripture. He says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Prepared for his devils and his angels. What place is prepared for devils and angels where there's everlasting fire? What place is that?
Yeah.
Say that aloud.
Yeah.
Say, I don't want to go there.
I don't want to go there.
Say, not me.
Not me.
I'm not on the left-hand side. He says he turned to those on his left-hand side. He said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. These are words that no one wants to hear. We don't want to hear this, and you only hear this at the day of the judgment. Either when you die or when Jesus comes. I want you to listen very carefully. You will either hear this or you hear the ones before, the scriptures before. The next verse, who are those on the left hand side? He says, For I was unhungered, and ye gave me not meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Are you listening? I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Not that you didn't do your quiet time. Not that you didn't read your Bible. Not that you didn't pay your tithe. Not that you didn't give offerings. Not that you didn't preach the word of God. He says, I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Now I want you to listen. Then they on the left hand side, look at what they're saying. Then shall they also answer him, saying what? So they call him Lord. That means they are Christians. They know Jesus. They are born again. They call Jesus my Lord. They have given their lives to Christ. Are you listening? Or you don't understand the scripture? It says, Lord, when we saw we thee and hungered, Jesus is saying, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. He says, Lord, we were in the church all the time. We listened to preaching. We paid tithe. We fasted. We prayed. We gave offerings. We have photographs on Facebook. We can look at them. We are in every Sunday photographs. We have evidence. He says, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? When? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, the others. Since you didn't visit the others. Since you didn't care for the others. Since you didn't mind the others. Since you the others were not on your thoughts. You never thought about the homeless. You never thought about the orphans. You know, when, even when we came and we say orphanage, you were angry. You say, I'm not coming to church next week. We say, bring your old clothes that you don't wear. Let's take them to give to the poor. He says, I will need this. It doesn't fit me today. But someday. Someday, I'm trying to lose weight. It's only January. You see, he says, verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as ye did it not to me, to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And then listen. Then, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. The only place where there's everlasting punishment is where? Yeah. Say that aloud. Yeah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Rise to your feet. Let us bring the service to a close. Father, we are grateful and thankful. We praise you. We honor you. Oh Lord, look upon our hearts and help us. Forgive us, oh God. Forgive us for not minding the others, for not thinking of others. The hunger, the prisoners, the homeless. Oh God, forgive us. For not caring about others, the lost. We have seen them and we have turned our eyes the other way. Lord, deliver us from the path that leads to hell. Turn our hearts unto others in the name of Jesus. We give you glory, we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. With all eyes closed and every head bowed, you are here this afternoon. You are not born again. You want to give your life to Christ. Lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. I want to give my life to Jesus. If that is you, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that? You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior? I want to pray with you. Anyone here like that? Lift up your hands and let us pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful. Anyone here like that? I want you all to say this after me. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me with your blood. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord, as my Master, as my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.